Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Well, today we're continuing our look at John chapter 17. Last week I shared with you, is really a confession, that I don't think I've been praying the way God intends for us to pray. And the reason why I said that is because last week we saw in John chapter 17 verses 1 through 5 in the way that Jesus prayed for his request. And we said then that we need to bring everything before God. If it's on our heart, pray to God about it. If we're worried about it, take it to God. If we're rejoicing about it, take it to God. There is nothing that is off limits. If there's something that we've been thinking about over and over again, we need to take it to God, and we need to keep praying until God gives us the answer. And we saw that really what matters when we're taking these requests to God is the context with which we pray in. And we saw that the context we need to be praying in is to glorify, and the word glorify means that the things that we're doing is acceptable to God, is approved by God. We need to be in God's spotlight. That's what the word glorify means. So we need to glorify God. We need to testify to God in everything that we do. I'm not going to say who did it, but because I didn't check with them before the service, but last week somebody texted me and they said, Eddie, you're not going to believe it, but today at our work, somebody came to the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in Him. And I think that is awesome because it's exactly what we're talking about. That is the context with which we need to be praying and going about everything that we do throughout the week, that we're going to testify to the Lord. And then the last thing that we saw last week, the context that we need to be in terms of completion, we need to care about completing these things that God lays on our hearts to pray about. So that brings us to today. So we saw last week how to pray our request to God. So how do we pray on the request for our family and for our friends? Because beginning in verse 6, Jesus is talking about the people that are closest to Him, the disciples, His family, His friends, your co-workers. How do we go about praying for these people? Well, beginning in verse 9, we see this is how Jesus says we need to pray for people that are closest to us. Verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I'm glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name so that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. Verse 14, I've given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I think I got myself in trouble last week, and I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody last week. If you want to know what I said during the sermon, you're going to have to go back to the podcast. I'm not going to go through it again, Mike. But speaking of the podcast, Doug informed me this morning, I think it's just awesome, that as of today, We have downloaded, hey Jack, good to see you, bud. That's quite all right. We have downloaded 2,231 podcasts of the sermons here on Sunday mornings. That means, and if you look, if 365 days in a year, if you kind of figure that out, it's about six times a day somebody's downloading a podcast from Panther Creek Baptist Church. I think that is amazing. And so I thank Doug again for doing that. I just think that's wonderful. And so you have to go back to that last week. And I definitely don't want to start out that way today, but I'm afraid I'm going to because I wanted to tell you, I served in the United States Air Force. And the time that I was in, from the time that I was in from 1983 to 1990, I served under one president. And he is one of my favorite presidents, really, of all time. I got a few. You know, I love Harry S. Truman. I liked him. I loved Abraham Lincoln. Like most of us here have loved Abraham Lincoln. But one of my favorites is Ronald Reagan. Oops, I did it again, didn't I? But I'll tell you why. As a veteran serving during that time, Ronald Reagan sent out some of the most, I wish you could have read some of these. At the unit we were serving in, and Ann's nodding her head, I think Ann probably received some of these too, at the unit that Sarge was in. But he would send out some of the most powerful messages that I think I've ever read. I mean, you could tell that he had a love for this country. He had a concern for the welfare and the defense of this country. I just loved anything that that Ronald Reagan really had to say. And now, one of the greatest things about Ronald Reagan was his ability to communicate. He was called the great communicator. And I want to give you an example, really, of how Ronald Reagan spoke. And I think we've got a video of one of the comments that he said here. So let's watch it.
I don't know whether you know it or not, but I have a new hobby. I am collecting stories that I can actually prove are told among the Russian people. They make them up themselves. They tell them between themselves. Reveals they got a great sense of humor. And they've also got a little cynical attitude about things in their country. And one of these stories, the one I'm going to tell you, I told to General Secretary Gorbachev. And he laughed. The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
He just had a unique ability to be able to do that. And I thought for the longest time, like many of you, that President Reagan just did that for political purposes. He wanted to find a way to kind of bridge the gap there between he and Congress. And so he would often do things like that. But after he died, years after he died, Patty Davis, his daughter, said that it wasn't like that at all. He may have used it for his advantage in political purposes, but he really didn't do that for that reason. I never knew this about President Ronald Reagan. He grew up in an alcoholic family. Alcohol was abused in his home for years while he was a child. And so what Ronald Reagan decided to do and what he figured out to do was to use communication as a way to diffuse the things that he was encountering at home. And he used this as he was growing up into his youth, into his college years. Certainly it helped him become an actor. But that was his thought process. And so I hear that about Ronald Reagan. I realize, you know what, I think I was wrong about some of the things I believed about him, that maybe he just used that he was the great communicator for political purposes. Really, he had a much deeper purpose in mind for how he used communication. And this is one of the things that we're talking about. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, we read this last week. In Hebrews 5, 7, it says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death, and God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence with God. God heard his prayers. Now, I think that is pretty powerful, and we talked about, you know what, the reason why God heard his prayers was because of his deep reverence with God. I feel like that I've been wrong about how I prayed for a number of years, and I think it's because of the context in which we come before God. And so now, as we continue on in this passage, Jesus is saying, when we pray for others, when we pray for our family, when we pray for our friends, when we pray for our church family, when we pray for our coworkers, anybody that's close to us, this is how we should pray. And I think it's very neat here, the way Jesus taught us this. He said, if you want a seminary outline, here it is right here, in the book of John, chapter 17. It couldn't be outlined perfectly, any more perfect than this, because here's what Jesus did. Every time Jesus wanted to emphasize the point of this is how we need to pray for others, those that are closest to in our family, he always used the words, so that. One time he used but that. so that. And I was curious as I read this. I thought to myself, okay, what is the difference between saying so and so that? So I went back to my college English book, and I began to read and study, okay, are there differences between using so that and so? And here's what I found. So is often used when you want to show results, when you want to show the effect. So if I were to tell you today, today is a very special Father's Day for me, so I will show you why it is so special to me. I'm going to show you the results of why Father's Day is such a special day for me. But so that indicates intention or purpose. Every time it's used, it's to show the purpose of why we do this. So in this context, it is exactly what Jesus is saying. This is why we should pray for our family and friends in this way. So that. And the first so that he uses is in verse 11. He says, so that they may be one as we are one. So that they may be one as we are one. Before President Trump took office in November 2016, Gallup did a survey. They did a Gallup poll. And this is what they found. 77% of Americans that they asked at that time, do you believe that our country is divided? 77% of Americans said, we believe our country is divided on the major issues. That was in November 2016. I really don't know what it is here recently, but I feel like maybe it's gotten worse to some degree, don't you? I mean, that our country is divided. We are divided racially. We are divided socially. We are divided economically. We are divided in a lot of ways spiritually. We are divided on so many counts. We are divided in our homes. We are divided with friendships. We are divided in many different areas of our life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that is not of God. Division is not of God. Never has been. And I tell you why. Because in Romans chapter 15, verse 6, Paul's writing to the church at Rome there, and he's saying this, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and one voice. Remember what we talked about last week? The word glorified means to have God's acceptance. It means to have God's approval. It's when God's spotlight is shining down on you. That is what the word glorify God means. And he's saying here, you know what? When we have God's approval, we have God's acceptance when we are one in voice, when we are one in mind. God is never a part of division. God is never a part of divisiveness. I've shared with you before that one of my favorite cartoons are Peanuts. I love Charlie Brown. I see a lot of myself in Charlie Brown. I just love Charlie Brown. One of my favorite Charlie Brown comic strips is, remember this one? It didn't have Charlie Brown in it. It had Lucy and Linus in it. And Linus is there with his blanket. He's laying on the floor and he's watching TV. And all of a sudden, Lucy comes into the room and she says, change the channel. And he said, why should I change the channel? He said, I was here first. I'm watching my program. Why should I change the channel? And she said, I'll give you five reasons. And she said, individually, these fingers are of no consequence whatsoever. But they, when they come together, they are a force to behold. You know, and Linus said, okay, which channel did you want me to change it to? And so he gets up. The next frame that you see, the last frame, you see Linus laying there on the ground next to Lucy. Lucy's laying on the carpet watching her TV program. And Linus is looking at his fingers and he says, why can't you guys get together like that? And sometimes I think God must be looking down at the church and saying, why can't you guys get together like that? Because unity is a beautiful thing. It is. And you know why unity is a beautiful thing? Unity is a beautiful thing because God takes people that are different. He takes the diversity that we have here and he brings it together for his purpose in Jesus Christ. That is unity. Unity. I was in the Air Force, like I said. In the Air Force, we were really good at practicing uniformity. I mean, when we went to basic training, golly, we had the same haircut, we had the same caps, we had the same pants, we had the same shirt, we had the same t-shirt, same underwear, same socks, same boots. We were the same from head to toe. But just because we looked the same doesn't mean we were the same. Each of us thought differently. We came from different backgrounds, and that's what unity is. Unity is not a cookie cutter where we come to church and we create cookie cutter Christians, and you're going to go out and look like this. Unity is our differences celebrated in Jesus Christ. Unity is when we realize that none of us can do what all of us can do. When God uses all of us for His purpose, it is a beautiful thing to behold. I tell you what unity is. Unity is this. Unity is when you can sit in the pew with somebody that may look completely different from you. Unity is when you can sit in the pew with somebody that may have a different education level than you have. You can sit in the same pew as somebody that may be on the different income level than you are. Unity is when we can take crowds, like the Beethoven crowd, like Beethoven music. We can take the Florida Georgia Line crowd. We can take the Kendrick Lamar crowd. We can take the Toby Mac crowd. We can take the Leonard Skinner crowd. That's the crowd I'm from. You know, we can take these crowds and we can say, you know what? They can all be different, but we can bring them all together because we are bonded in the love of Christ. That is unity. And that is what we need to be praying for. I need to be praying for my sons and daughters. I need to be praying for my son-in-law. I need to be praying for my daughter-in-law. I need to be praying that they will have unity in their lives. So when we have our prayer time, that's what we need to pray for first of all. We need to pray for the unity of Christ in people's lives. We need to pray that for our church. The second thing that God says here, Jesus says here, not only do you need to be praying for unity, we need to be praying for joy. Look with me here at verse 13. It says, so that they may have my joy completed in them. So that they may have my joy completed in them. In the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. And as he's writing to this church is getting, and the reason why he's writing to them is because this church has gotten less and less about Jesus Christ. They are looking less and less like Jesus Christ. And Paul uses some of the harshest language that he uses in any of his letters that he wrote. The book of Galatians is filled with harsh language where Paul is saying, this is enough. Because over time, as people have tried to follow the rules, and as the rules and the law has become prevalent in all the things that they do, they have lost their joy, and now it's been about obligation. We're only here on Sunday morning because we feel like that's what we need to do as a Christian. We only do this because we feel like it's our obligation to do as a Christian. There is no joy. And then Paul eventually asked the question in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. He says this. In Galatians 4:15, he prays this, you were very happy then, but where is that joy now? Where's your joy? You know, I think some of us could ask that question of ourselves this morning. Where really is my joy? Who or what has robbed me of my joy? Because this whole Christianity thing has really turned into something that I just feel like I have to do. If that's where you are right now, I'm here to tell you, that is not what God approves or accepts of. God is not about rules and regulations that we have to follow. God is about joy. And we need to be praying for others. I need to be praying for my sons and daughters. I need to be praying for my daughter-in-law. I need to be praying for my son-in-law. I need to be praying for Lisa. I need to be praying for our church that we will know joy and that His joy will be complete. Number three, we need to pray for people's protection. Look with me again at verse 14. He says, this is the one time where he says, but that you protect them from the evil one. That you protect them from the evil one. Now, the evil one that he's talking about here is Satan. He's talking about the devil. Actually, it's interesting. In Job chapter 1, we see a very surreal conversation that God and Satan have with one another. We have some insight, a picture here of really a conversation that's taking place. And this is what Job says. I'm going to just paraphrase here for a little while. Job says this. Job says, you know what? Or God says this in Job, that everybody, all the angels are accountable to come and give a report to God of all the things that they're doing. And including in this is Satan. So Satan comes before God and God asks him the question, what have you been up to? And Satan says, not much. I've just been going to and from around the earth. I've just been wandering around. Now God knows Satan. And he knows what Satan is. He knows who Satan is, and he knows he's the great deceiver. He knows he's a liar. He knows he's a destroyer. So he knows what Satan's been up to, and he says, of all the people that you've ever considered, of all the people that you've ever talked to, have you ever thought about Job? Do you ever consider that Job would turn away from me and hear what you have to say? And I don't see this in the Bible, but here's where I picture in my imagination that happens. I think Satan laughed. And he just went, ha, are you kidding me? There's no way that Job would ever turn. And God said, why? Because I tell you, you have blessed Job immensely. You have blessed his family. Why would Job ever turn away from you when you've been so good to him? And then he says this in verse 10. And I want to read it. It says, haven't you placed a hedge around him, his household, and everything that he owns? And then in verse 11, he continues, but stretch out your hand and strike everything he owns, and he will surely curse you to your face. He said, haven't you put a hedge around him? When I first came in the ministry, I got confused by this, to be honest with you. When I first came in the ministry, I would hear people, they'd come up to me and they'd say, hey, I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And I said, absolutely, I really need that. So they said, okay, let's pray. And then they'd start out, and then eventually they'd say, and Lord, I want you to put a hedge of protection around Brother Eddie because I want him to be protected. I want you to put a hedge of protection around his family. And the whole time I'm thinking, I really don't need any landscaping. I don't need a bush in my life. I need something a little stronger than that. I need something that's going to protect me from Satan. You know, I need that. But really what this word is talking about here, the word hedge means a wall. This wall that was built had mud and strong rock at the bottom of it. It had thorns at the top of it. There was no way when you put it around forts that people could penetrate that fort. It was indefensible. They could not get through that fort. That's what I need. That's what I need. That's what you need. We need somebody praying on our behalf that Satan cannot get through to our minds. He cannot get through to our hearts. We need to be praying that for our families. We need to be praying that for our church family. We need to be praying that for people that we're closest to. Because, to be quite honest, is it not true that the reason why we have so much divisiveness, the reason why we see so many problems in our lives and our world today, because Satan is having a field day, because there is no protection there. There is no hedge of protection. I believe with all my heart that we need to be praying for that protection with our families. One final thing, and then we'll wind it up. We need to be praying for God's truth, so that we could be sanctified in him. Jesus says here in verse 19, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That they may be sanctified by the truth. Several times when Jesus talked about truth, he always compared it to light. It was the same side of the same coin. Light and truth were together. So if the reason why you don't have a lot of light of Christ in your life is because we don't have a lot of the truth of God's word in our life. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, Newsweek magazine wrote an article. And in this article, they said this. They said, the Bible is so misunderstood that it's a sin. The Bible's so misunderstood that it's a sin. And in that article, they quoted George Gallup Jr., who does a lot of these surveys, who does a lot of these polls. And this is what George Gallup said. He said, Americans reveal the Bible, but by and large, they do not read it. That's why we need to be praying for the truth of God's word into people's lives so that they may grow. I'm going to do it again. I really struggled with this. You know, the one thing I struggled with for this whole sermon is what I'm about to tell you. I could not find a good way to illustrate this, and I didn't want to pick on Ojai County again. I feel like I picked on Ojai County enough, so I want to not go to Ojai County today, Sheila, if that's okay. We're going to give Ojai County a break. But I thought, well, who do I talk about if it's not Ojai County? The only one I could come up with was Louisville Cardinals. Louisville Cardinals. So now let me say this, because I see Jeff Chenault over here and Gretchen. Sorry, Jeff. If you are a Louisville Cardinal fan, here's what you need to do. You need to substitute Louisville Cardinals with whatever it is that you want. You know, I mean, we, well, you know what? Well, no, we can't. Steve's here. I was going to say we could say Indiana Hoosiers today because I didn't think we had it, but we have Steve here, so we can't go there. So you could substitute with whatever you want, but I'm going to go with Louisville Cardinals today. I heard a story about a Louisville Cardinal fan that read on Facebook, there was an advertisement for Facebook, that you could get a cruise 5 days for $20. And he looked at that and thought, man, that is such a good deal. I've never heard of a cruise 5 days for $20. And so he goes down to the address where you're supposed to sign up for this cruise. He says, hey, I'm here to talk about the cruise for $20, 5 days. And that's the last thing he remembers. Because somebody snuck up behind him with a bat and just hit him with a bat, knocked him out cold. The next thing that happens is he's waking up on a farm pond in eastern Kentucky. He's in an inner tube, and he's floating out there on that pond. He's looking around thinking to himself, this is a pretty good cruise. And he looks over across the pond, and there's another person with a Louisville Cardinal t-shirt on, and he looks over at that other person, and he says, hey, I love the cruise, but do you know if they serve a meal with this cruise? That other Louisville Cardinals fan says, well, they didn't last year. Maybe I should have gone with Ohio County instead, I guess. But here's the thing. We tend to say that people who don't have common sense or people that do things like that, we tend to say, you know, they're not the brightest bulb in the package. Or we tend to say that they're kind of dim lit there in that department. We tend to use words like that. And Jesus is not saying that about Louisville Cardinal fans, but here's what Jesus is saying. He said it several times. You know why you can't see the light of Christ so much? You know why you can't see it shining so brightly? Is because we don't have enough of the truth of God's word in our life. And we need to be praying, because that is the way we grow. That is the way we become more like Christ, when we pray that, God, we want more of your truth in our lives. So here's the assignment. We'll close with this. You have your prayer journal. If you don't have one, pick one up before you leave here today. In your prayer journal this week, here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to write down every name that you can think of that is your family, that is your friends, your church family, your co-workers. And you say, Eddie, what if I forget somebody in church? That's okay. I'll be praying for people in church too. So if you leave George Dunn off your list, I've got George covered. I'll be praying for George. But I want you to list everybody that you can think of that you need to pray for that is in your life, those that are closest to you. You can do this tonight. You can do this tomorrow morning during your prayer time. But write down every name that you can think of. And every day this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for their unity. I want you to pray that they'll find unity in Jesus Christ. I want you to pray that they'll find joy in their life. I want you to pray for their protection. I want you to pray that the truth of Christ will come more into their life. Every day, would you pray for that list, those four things. Now, obviously, there's going to be health concerns, but as you're praying for their health, pray for those four things in their life. And there's one more thing I want you to do. Since we've seen how Jesus worked this past week in helping us see Him and how we prayed for the things that we wanted to pray for and we felt led to pray for, I want us to do that again. On Friday, after you prayed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on Friday afternoon, I want you just at random to pick 3 to 5 people on that list. Direct message them, text message them, call them, email them. However you can communicate with those people, I want you to let them know that you've been praying for them this week. And you've been praying for these four areas. You've been praying for their unity. You've been praying for joy in their lives. You've been praying for protection. You've been praying for the truth of Christ to be in their lives. I want you to let them know that you've been doing that. And ask them this question. Have they seen anything this week that could correlate with what you've been praying for? Now, a lot of them could say, you know what, this week hasn't been any different than any other weeks. That could happen. It probably will happen. But if there's somebody who says, you know what, Tuesday was an interesting day, and they could share with you something that goes exactly in line with what you've been praying for, when they do that, would you write that down in your prayer journal? And let's see how God works as we begin to understand how to pray for people that are closest to us. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.